When I was driving over today, thinking about this word and all the stuff you hear on the radio and the stuff you hear on the TV and the headlines and all the confusion that is going on right now, one little song that I haven't thought of in a long time popped in my head. And I came real quick this morning and I went to the computer and looked it up and typed out the words. And here's the lyric, you might remember it. The lyric says, "You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek." And you know the little refrain, it goes, "You are my all in all, seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all." Well, we sing the rest of that that says, "Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name." And that is what we need today. He should be our all in all. How much more today do we need it than any other time in which we lived right now? We're hearing so much. We're hearing a lot of foolishness. We're hearing a lot of problems. There's discouragement on every level. I was listening to a report because of all the foolishness that we have gone through over the last year or so. Things like cars are going to be delayed for a year. And that's not accidents. Food is delayed. Ships are out waiting 2 weeks to unload because of all the other problems. This is not an accident. One guy said it this way: we've been experienced trauma-based mind control. And you know what? We need to set our mind on things above. We need to remind ourselves that He is my all in all. He is my source. The word today, as it is every day, whenever we pick it up, whenever we read it, remember this: the word in your hand has no expiration date on it. The word is timeless. The word is true. The word never changes. The word is perfect for the time. Augustine said something great when talking about all the great writers, and when you hear so many different things. Some people can say some good things. Some people can say some dumb things. You got to know the truth. It's like the old commercial says, you got to be able to figure out if it's live or if it's Memorex. Well, if it's true or if it's the word of God. Augustine said it this way. He said, "I have read in Plato and I've read in Cicero sayings that are very wise and sayings that are very beautiful. But I've never read in either one of them these words, 'Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.'" We need rest in the day in which we live. There's so much foolishness, so much confusion going on in our world today. As Grandma used to say, it seems like there's no rest for the weary. Well, where do we go when we're being pulled from all angles? Where do we go when we've been overwhelmed, when our mind has been inundated with foolishness? And we've got to say, where is the word? What is the truth? Well, in this word, we can rest. In His name, we can rest. He is with us, whatever the task, if we do it in His name. The famous story in Exodus 3, I read it about 1 year ago to you. Exodus 3, God grabs Moses. He's out in the desert. He's speaking to him. He's giving him an assignment that's way beyond his natural ability. And Moses protests to God. He said, "All right, who am I to go and appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead all these people out of Egypt?" He said, I don't know how to do this. In fact, by the way, Moses was not eloquent like Charlton Heston. That's just in the movies. He was not that eloquent, the history tells us. "But what do I have? What do I go on?" God answered him. That's a good line. And God threw a line at him that should be a line for you and me today. God says, "I will be with you." He said, "This is going to be a sign to you that when all the people have been delivered, you're going to come back and worship me at this very spot, at this mountain." Well, history tells us that's exactly what happened. So Moses is still protesting. God's already said, "I'm going to be with you," but Moses probably didn't hear all of that. He said, "All right, if I go with these people of Israel and I tell them, 'The God of your ancestors who has sent me,' what are they going to say? They're going to say, 'Okay, what is His name? What should I tell them?'" And I love this line. This is the line that I read in the beginning that started preparing for this special day. And God said to Moses, He said, "Here's what you say: I am who I am." Boy, you talk about an all of the above answer. You talk about all-encompassing line from God Almighty. I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. Say, "I am." Boy, that stops all arguments. Say, "I am has sent me." God also said to Moses, "Say to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, He has sent me to you today." And He said, "This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations." When we sing, "You are my all in all," we're singing about that name that is to all generations, that name that stands with us when we can't see, and it is a beautiful name. Today, I want to talk to you about this statement. It's a fill-in-the-blank message today, and here's the title: "The Lord is my," we draw a blank there, there's a line. you're going to be able to fill in that blank. That's what was going on with Moses. Who are you going to say that sent me? I mean, I've got to have some authority. He said, I am, and everything you can put in there. Somebody said he's Alpha and Omega, and he's everything in between. That's the word that he's saying to him right now. Well, we talk about it. The Lord is my. Now, every one of you, if you're like me, when I said the Lord is my, you probably said one word after that. The Lord is my shepherd. That's probably what we all said at first, because that has stuck with us all of our lives, and it's precious, and it's the most wonderful scripture we can carry all of our lives. Look at this verse right here. Psalm 23, you know it. The Lord is my, here's the first fill in the blank. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In other words, I will not be in need when I'm hearing things from all sides, when my brain is being beat out, I'm disappointed, and I'm seeing things, and I know what's right, and I know what's not right, and I'm frustrated. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then and you notice these action words now. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. I don't know about you, but I'm at a point right now with some of the stuff I'm seeing and hearing that I need to put my television in quarantine, you know? We need our soul restored. We need to be lifted up. He leads me in the correct path. So he makes me, he leads me, he restores, and again, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. What does that mean? That means he directs me to right standing. He is leading me in my path. I'm following him. He leads me. Now, notice some other he things that go on the ongoing care that God has and expresses for each one of us right now. Watch this. He said, and though I might walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll not be afraid. Now, this is not a foolish, I've seen people, I'm not going to be afraid, and they do foolish things. No, we live our lives. We do what we should do. We take good care of ourselves. We behave. We look both ways when we cross the street. We don't do dumb things. He said, but though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid. Why? Because you are with me. You are with me. Your rod and your staff. Now, a rod and a staff is a weapon to somebody who's trying to harm us. That is a piece of battle equipment that will fight off. But to us, it is a place that we run to. It's a place of safety. That's when we really understand who he is in our lives. He said, your rod and your staff brings me comfort. You comfort me. You prepare a table. You feed me even in the presence of my enemies. There'll be supplies even in difficult times. And you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I love that. So he comforts me. He feeds me. He anoints me. He loves on me. And surely, 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 goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So right there, he comforts me. He feeds me. He anoints me. He houses me with his word. Well, let's expand that thought. The Lord is my shepherd. You got that first one. Let's have some fun with a few, and let's just see what the word says that I can give you today to encourage you. Exodus chapter 15, verse 2 says this. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. I'll make noise. I'll make some noise there. So Exodus 15, 2 tells us the Lord is my strength. He's my song. He's my salvation. Are you seeing where this is going today? Because I'm going to equip you and arm you in faith, and you'll be tearing the doors off before we get finished today. Exodus 15, let's do another fill in the blank. This is Exodus chapter 17, verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. That's the flag I fly under. That's the kingdom I represent. I love our natural flag. I honor that. I honor those who sacrificed. I honor that. I have a problem when people don't want to honor that because of the great sacrifice. Not because it's perfect, but because of the freedom that we've had that is an unprecedented freedom from any other land on this entire planet. This land is imperfect as it is. We fed more people. We have housed more people. We have touched more people. We have invented more things to bless people through medicines. We've done more things in benevolence. We've preached the gospel. Well, as you can see, the Lord is my banner. I fly under his flag. We used to sing a fun song when we were kids. Joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my heart when the king is in residence there. You know, in the castle days when the flag was up, the king was there. So he is my banner. I fly under that proudly. 2 Samuel, we're going to do another fill in the blank. Chapter 22, the Lord said, and he said, the Lord is my rock. He said, the Lord, this is David, the Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. So here we are, back up. The Lord is my fill in the blank. He's my rock. We need a rock to hold onto. When all around my soul gives way, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. He's my fortress. I can run to that place. I can hide in that place. We all need a place to hide sometimes, especially when the arrows start flying. And then when the victory has come, he is my deliverer. Are you filling in some blanks with me today? Are you being encouraged with the blanks that we can all fill in? Lord, I just ask you today to touch these people and let them find one of these that touches them at this moment in their heart. Let it be strong right now. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. The writer back in the 60s wrote, praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Fill in the blank. You are my all in all. Who sent you? All those things. The banner sent me. The rock sent me. The deliverer sent me. The provider. I love this. Let's fill in another blank. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 11. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, listen to this, my persecutors will stumble. They will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion, though, will never be forgotten. The folly. I'm praying that the folly of what we've walked through the last year and a half is going to be exposed. And even when we do it, some people will reject it anyway. So we just need to know that he is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. Here I am today. He is the mighty one. He is the awesome one. We've sung for years, our God is an awesome God. If you notice a little thread here, not all of them, but almost every one of these, we have sung a song like that to build the affirmation in our spirit over the years. We've learned that so we know how to stand when all around, as I said, my soul gives way. Let's fill in another blank. Lamentations. I bet not one of you woke up this morning and said, you know what? I'm going to read Lamentations. No, it's not something that you read and start kicking and jumping up and down and rejoicing. But there's some great life in Lamentations. In fact, if it wasn't for the Lord's mercies, we would all be consumed. How's that grab you? Here's the next one. Lamentations chapter 3, the new fill in the blank. He said, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. What does it mean when I say the Lord is my portion? That connects me with the concept that he is more than enough. I'm not going to go without. He knows what I need. We will not drift and starve on our own. He is there for us. Father, I thank you for that promise today. So you can fill in that blank today. The Lord is my portion. He's everything I need for this task and for this moment and the day after that and the days to come. That's a good word. You ready to fill in another one? Zechariah. Zechariah 13, 9. This is going to keep us going even through trials. He said, I'll bring one, God's making a promise, I'll bring one third through the fire, refine them as silver, test them as gold. They will call on my name, I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. This will keep you through trials. What's the old saying? It's not what you know, it's who you know. This is it in the word right there. Even coming through trials, he's with us. He will bring us through in those difficult times. And when we are going through it and when we come to the other side of it, what's your affirmation? It's the fill in the blank. The Lord is my God. Thank God. Psalm 18, David said a good one. We've sung this before. He said, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. My God is my strength in whom I will trust. He is my shield, my horn of salvation. That speaks of strength, by the way. And he is my stronghold. When you see words like the Lord is, fill it in, shield and stronghold, These are words of power, words of protection, words that he's going to take care of these things. The righteous run to it and they are safe. That's a good word right there. That's a good fill in the blank today. One chapter over, Psalm 19. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I don't know about you, but I've had to work on the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth over the last few months. I have to confess that. Sometimes it's been a little less in faith filled, and when it comes out, I got to correct that thing. Why? Because we're humans and we fight those things. It's like the old gospel song, Lord, remember I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. And we need to remind ourselves of who he is. I love this. He said, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength. Notice all the power words here. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's a good word. That speaks of the protection. You want to fill in the blanks? He's my protection. He's with me. The word says he is in front of me. He's behind me. He's all around me. He's taking care. That's a good word to encourage you when you're getting hit from all angles. That's pretty good, isn't it? And in 19 of Psalm, he said, the Lord is my mouth. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable. What great protection. Then the next chapter, chapter 19, going to give you another word for the fill in the blank. I've already gone into it a little bit. I need to double back on it because I went back on the other one. Where he says, you are my strength and you're my redeemer. He's my redeemer. He's bought us back. Bought us back. We were little kids, and I think a lot of you, if you grew up in the time that I did, maybe your folks collected, they would go to the grocery store and they'd give you these little stamps when you checked out, and they were green stamps. And then you could get a book, and they'd give you a book, and when you'd get these green stamps, you'd stick them in this book. And you'd get a bunch of books together with all these stamps, and I remember, I think it was over on Broad Street. We'd go over as little kids on Broad Street and wait in the car, and your mom gets out, you've got these books here, and you're expecting some great treasure to show up at your house, man, when you've got these stamps and something great is really about to happen. And what happens is when your mom comes out, she's got a little toaster under her arm. You mean all the, what did she do? That was called the Redemption Center. My strength and my redeemer, fill in that blank. This is one of my favorites, Psalm 27, another fill in the blank. Verse 1, David says, the Lord is my light, he's my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light. How many of you know we need illumination to see where we are? We are in a dark world right now. And do you know the word says that we are people of light? Do you know light? This whole message is all about light. It says in him was light. One of the first things he ever said was, let there be light. Then he says, I am the light of the world. Later on in the New Testament, he's told that we should let our light shine because we are a reflection of his glory and his power and the relationship that we have. He is the light. Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You know, when the light is on, it's not as scary. Linda and I were watching a television program the other night, and the investigators were investigating a crime, and it was a homicide. And we watched the two people walk into this house. They didn't turn one light on. They were standing there with little lights, and it was dark. And it was, of course, it's supposed to be dark and scary, so it'll get you a little worked up. And Linda kept saying, "Turn the lights on. Turn the lights on. He is my light. And when we can't see, fill in that blank. Lord, you are my light." You're my salvation. Psalm 54, verse 4 now. The Lord is my helper. He said, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. I like that good word. He is my helper. It's just a sweet word. Have you been in the middle of something and somebody comes, hey, I've come to help you. I've come to help you out. That's a good word. He is my helper. The Lord is my helper. What a good word. Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, we've sung this for 100 years, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. So he's my refuge, he is my fortress, that's who God is. I love that. That's a great word. That's a word of encouragement. Say hi to somebody around you so I can do this. Pretty smooth, wasn't it? We get back to the last one that I want to use right now. The last one is from Psalm 118. Psalm 118, I kind of like this one. David said it this way. He says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear." And so the emphatic afterthought, "So then what can man do to me?" Encourage yourself sometimes when you feel overwhelmed. I just told you that he was going to be your helper. I just told him he was going to be your fortress and your refuge. But now you need to know he's on my side. What a wonderful word. The Lord is on my side. That's the side you want to be on. I think one of the presidents many, many years ago, the question, I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit. He said, the question is, if the Lord's asking, is the Lord on our side? The question is, are we on the Lord's side? Isn't it good to know that he's on our side today? So what do you have? You got all these things. You got a rock, a fortress, a mighty God. You got more than enough. You've got shield, stronghold, protection. You've been bought back from disease and sin and sickness. He is my light and my salvation. Okay, that's really good. I understand. Every one of you agree with everything, but you're still sitting there in your mind's going, "Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. I've gone through a mess. This is an awful day. I am frustrated. I'm aggravated. I don't know what to do. I'm really discouraged right now." You need to remind yourself not only of these words, but perhaps you need to go back. I think last Sunday I was talking to the people, and I said, you might need to go back and remember some of those times. Some of those times that the Lord brought you through difficult times. Deuteronomy 6, verse 12 in the NIV says it this way. "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of that land of slavery." Well, you're getting near the end of those five books of Moses there. You're in the Joseph story by this time. And the word's coming, be careful, do not forget those things. We have a tendency, we've prayed those prayers. "Lord, if you do it, I'll never do it again." Or, "Lord, get me out of this and I'll never forget it." You know, but human nature forgets it. I've had people actually come up to me after a service. One time I met with somebody after service that wanted to take me to dinner one day and sat across the table from me and said, "I just want you to know the words that have been coming forth from this place. I gave up all hope on church. I gave up hope, and I was just disillusioned and discouraged. And I've sat here for 5 or 6 weeks, and I've been listening to the word. I will never forget what you've done and what this has meant to me. I can't tell you how much." I think I saw that person one time after that. So number one, don't believe the publicity. And number two, stay true to the word. But he won't forget us. There are times where I can't see around something, but I think back at a time where miraculous provision came, even as I was a little kid, even in our family, as we were raising our family. There's some miracle times. God did some unusual things for us. And they're part of our little nuclear family. It's part of our story. There was a time that we wanted to do something very special for both boys, and they were younger at the time. And we didn't have the finances to do that thing. But we knew we really wanted to do it. We knew we really wanted to do it. And I began to do some investigation on what it would cost. And I said, "Lindy, I don't know if we can do this." And she said, "Yeah, I know, but let's just believe God's going to help us out here." I'll never forget it. And I went to the place to plan this trip, and I knew the man that was working there. And I said, "I can put this much down right now." It wasn't a lot of money right then. "But here's all I got for right now to put this down. Let's put this down, and let's just see what happens." And the amount that was remaining, it was all even numbers. Within a couple of days, some finances came to me, not from church, not from a person I even knew, through an outside source that was about half of what we still needed. Again, all even numbers, no ones, it was all zeros. That's how it came. We were still a few dollars away from that. And I went and took that and I put it down on our trip. The boys were young. We really wanted to do it. We felt we needed it. And we just wanted to have this family time. And a few days later, from another source, we received a check. No ones, no threes, no fours, no fives. All zeros. And it was the exact amount that we needed to go to our boys and say, "We're going to take this trip." And when we got there on that day, and you're walking through and there's mouses. By the way, you got to be careful because the mouse has his hand in your pocket from the time you get out the car. But we're walking down Main Street on that day and we're laughing and celebrating and rejoicing. And we remind the whole family, the Lord blessed us in this great way. And so when I'm going through times right now, I remember something as simple as that. You may say, that's nothing. Come on, use these things and remember. He's done it before. He'll do it again. Kind of like David's story, isn't it? I read it a few weeks ago. 1 Samuel 17. Don't worry about the Philistine, David said to Saul. I'll fight that sucker. I'll take him out. Don't be ridiculous, said Saul. You can't fight him. There's no way. You can't win. You're just a boy. He's been a man of war all of his life. He said, let me tell you something, King. He said, I've been taking care of the father's sheep and the goats. And he's getting ready to tell his credentials. In other words, he's getting ready to tell him what his experience is. When a lion or a bear came to steal the lamb, I'd go after it with a club. I'd rescue the lamb from its mouth. And if the animal turned on me, I would catch it by the jaw and beat it to death, club it to death. Pretty good, huh? And he said, I've done this to both lions and bears, and I'm going to do this to this pagan Philistine, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said it this way, remembering that God had helped him before, remembering what God had done. He said, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the claws of the bear, he will rescue me from this Philistine. An experience can't be swayed. Let that be your testimony. You can't tell an eyewitness he didn't see something. Oh, they'll try to hit you with things over and over and try to reprogram you with the mind control they do in media today. But you know what God has done. You remembered. You remember those things in your most desperate hour, because God is our God and the Lord is my God. Let your experience up till now be your testimony, and let your word that you hold in your hand be the vision, the goal, the dream, the thing that you build on. As we close today, it comes with experience. It comes with knowing that God has met your needs before. Every one of you listening to me right now, you can look at one point. It may be a simple thing, but God, where God did something special and you knew it had to be God. A young preacher wrote this the other day, and I love this line. He said, an older Christian in my life had more peace than I had about a hard situation that we went through today. And I said to this older person, you have more faith than me. And the older person, not necessarily doesn't have to be older, but an experienced person, he said it this way, no, I have more experience with a faithful God. In other words, I don't have more faith than you, but I have more experience with a faithful God. Let that be our testimony. The Lord is. Fill in that blank for what you need today. Let's not forget this today. Today I speak life to you. I speak blessing to each one of you today. Go forth and do great things. Make this a great day. Let there be joy, laughter. Pray for those special things that you're looking for right now, those special needs right now. And every one of these words, every one of these fill in the blanks, it's for me and it's for you today. And if you need Jesus today, you say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I will love you. I will serve you all my days. And then get into the word, get into worship, get into fellowship. Do what the word says. I don't know where to start. Start in John. Read John first. In the meantime, I say to you right now, may the Lord bless you. Hands up. Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and grant you peace. It's going to be a good day because the Lord is my what I need. See you next time. Later.